The Triumphing Truth. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. The aforementioned blessings are not all there is. Calvary, Pentecost, healings, and victory are only means to a climacteric end. That end is not that we may get to heaven when we die, or be translated when Jesus comes. Is heaven itself the reward? Heaven is only the destination. Most certainly there is an inheritance reserved in heaven for some. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 through 5. Some believers find this out now and seek to know what that inheritance is, for whom it is reserved, and how it is to be obtained. But when we start searching for our blessings in Christ, we meet the elders, the doctors, the expositors, who cry as Eliab did against David, "I know thy pride and naughtiness of heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." 1 Samuel 17, verse 28b. In modern parlance, we might hear, "You think you can teach us?" How strange indeed that anyone should suppose that God cannot teach anyone except himself or those of reputed authority. The word of God is not bound. Neither is God limited in his revelation of truth to certain men. It is not our aim to convince anyone that we are right in our views. We only desire earnestly to give a reason for the hope which is in us from plain scriptural statement. We mean to chase away any possible mist that may befog any honest, hungry heart. We are not sent to flog the faltering or the faithless. God will attend to that in due time. But it does behoove us to feed the flock of God. This revelation he gave to us years ago, his name be praised. If we can point out from God's immutable word a transcendently brilliant star of promise, and hold it in the heavens in irresistible splendor, and induce or encourage poor, weak, timid, careworn, thorn-torn saints to hitch their wagon thereto, we shall be unspeakably glad. We are assured that the star is there, and God will be eternally and far exceedingly glorified above all other honor in those who run after and seize hold of that glorious prize. We are running, and we have company. We are beholding and are being changed from glory to glory. I may call that star the riches of the glory which some saints will enjoy with Christ, and I mention as the scripture portal Paul's own words, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Ephesians 1:18. A better resurrection. The word clearly teaches the first resurrection, which includes all believers who are in the grave. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 5. All believers are blessed because they are in Christ, and they are holy because they are of Christ. They have a holy nature and a happy standing. Paul tells us all about this first resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. There is nothing said about the resurrection of the wicked dead in that chapter. Therefore, these two resurrections are distinct. The second resurrection embraces only the wicked dead, of those who experience the second death, eternal damnation. The first resurrection began with the raising of Jesus Christ, the first fruit of them that are fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15:20, and of those after his resurrection, Matthew 27:53, and it will be consummated with the end of the millennium, see Revelation 20 verses 5 and 6. Life will be prolonged and death will be restrained for believers during the 1,000 years reign, but not until the last earth-dwelling believer will have put on immortality at the end of the millennium will the words absolutely be fulfilled, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15 verses 54 through 55. It is also clearly stated that certain saints were tortured not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:35. Those were Old Testament believers. Were those the bodies that came out of their graves after Christ's resurrection? Matthew 27 verses 52 and 53. Was the privilege of being raised when Christ was raised the better resurrection for them? It would seem to be so, for they were raised nearly 2,000 years ahead of the rest of the Old Testament saints, who will come up out of their graves at the revelation of Jesus, Daniel 12, verse 2, and Romans 11:25. It cannot be disputed that there is such a thing as a better resurrection. If some under the Old Covenant saw such a prospect, why should it be thought improbable that saints under the New Covenant may enjoy a similar resurrection? Were there not two distinct companies then? One which refused deliverance in order to obtain something better, and one which accepted deliverance but missed the better? What was the distinctive mark of difference? It was suffering expressed by torture. Amos 9:6 is a remarkable citation in point. It is he that buildeth his stories or spheres or ascensions in the heaven and hath founded his troop in the earth. The Lord is his name. Mentioned here are places for companies in heaven and a company in the earth. Different spheres call for corresponding companies to fill them. Amos saw the troop on earth, but he saw only the abode of heaven dwellers, not the inhabitants. To Amos, that was wonderful. To us who believe it, this is glorious. Hence we inquire, who shall inhabit those respective spheres ranging as stories one above another, as in a building? Doubtless, Paul's high calling gives the answer in a general way in distinction from those who shall constitute the troop on earth. Is there anything in the New Testament corresponding with the different spheres of Amos? Yes, we are credibly informed that there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory, 1 Corinthians 15:41. Here are at least four different glories, all on the celestial plane. Is it far-fetched to say that this is what Amos wrote about? Though he did not understand, the Spirit did. This suggests at least four immense stories or ascensions in God's church triumphant, two star stories, one moon story, and one sun story. Note that the troop on earth is already a fact, hath founded, but the stories are in process of construction. He buildeth. This is marvelous. Are the above statements only flashes of fancy? Did Amos and Paul write simply to entertain curious students? Or do they not show us what awaits faith in God's promises?